On the opening pasuk in the parsha of Vayesh and Yaakov, there it's Megure Aviv. Rashi quotes different midrashim. So one of the midrashim he quotes is that tzaddikim work all their lives. They have nisyonos and they pull through. And you reach a time in your old age that you want to relax a little bit because Shankar Lesha Bishalva. He didn't think that he's going to have more nisyonos. Kafatzol rules the show Yosef. So this new problem arose that tzaddikim are expected to take care of challenges even when they're old. They're not supposed to relax, Boilam Azeh, Boilam Abol, they relax. That's a famous medrash. Rashi made that medrash famous. The many medrashim that Rashi made famous because he quoted them in his commentary. There's another medrash on the pasuk there. It's Megure Aviv, Miloshen Logur, the land, the country where his ancestors live. There it's Kinoan. So the medrash has another, an additional level of interpretation. It's not Pshut Lushon Nikra, Miloshen Gerus. There it's Megure Aviv. Avraham Avinu was Megayer, Knainim, and Yitzchak was Megayer, and Yankov was Megayer. They were all proactive to be Mekabel Gerim until a certain point. We're no longer proactive. We don't go out to proselytize the whole world. We, Klal Yisrael, are supposed to be Or LaGoyim, a light unto the nation, B'shev Altasa, not Bikum V'Yaseh. We're not proactively interested in being Megayer. When did this change occur? So the a lot of the Mefarshim say when the Shvatim were born, when all the Yud Bei Shvatim were born. So there was a whole Klal Yisrael. So we mind our own business now. We work to try to raise our children properly. And Klal Yisrael will serve as an Or LaGoyim. In next week's Sedra, it says that when Yaakov Avinu came back, Teresol came to the city Shtem, Vayichan as Pnei Ho'ir. How do you translate Vayichan? Meloshen Chanoya. And he pitched his tent on the outskirts of the city, Poshesha. So the Gemara in Bama Madlikin, I think maybe we spoke about this, Gemara Madlikin has an interpretation. Vayichan as Pnei Ho'ir Meloshen Chain. He added Chain to the city, that he felt that he experienced miracles. He was Nitzal from Lavan. And one who experienced miracles has to demonstrate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu his HaKoros HaTov. So the way to demonstrate is by doing things for mankind. So Vayichan as Pnei Ho'ir, so the Gemara has three interpretations. Could be all three are correct. One interpretation that he introduced a monetary system instead of just having barter. Another interpretation, he introduced shopping malls. Instead of, you want a pair of shoes, you have to go there. You want some clothing, you have to go there. You want food, you have to go there. He made a shopping mall. You can buy everything in the same area. And then the third interpretation was, he added chayin, he introduced bote merchatz, that it's healthier if people bathe once a year or twice a year or so. They probably never bathed at that time, so he introduced that they should bathe much more often and it's healthier. So the Medrash has another interpretation, Vayichan es Pnei Ho'ir, also Miloshim Chayim Noya, that he was Kaveh Tchum, he was Kaveh Tchum Shabbos. Vayichan es Pnei Ho'ir is Kaveh, what does it mean Kaveh Tchum Shabbos? So the Gemara has a Machlek in Satanayim, whether Tchum Machlek is Rabbi Kiva Nachachamim, whether Tchum is the Raisa, the Rabbon, Rabbi Kiva's opinion, Alpai Mama is a Din, the Raisa. The Gemara says that's out of the question, we don't pass like Rabbi Kiva. We all the Alpai Mama is only the Rabbon. The Rambam and the Rif follow the Yerushalmi. Tosis rarely quotes Yerushalmi, so Tosis doesn't hold from this one. So Shulchan Aruch Machlek is the Mechaber and the Rambam. The Mechaber quotes the Rambam and the Rif that Tchum and Yud Beis Mil is their Isa. Al Yetzish B'mkomo is the source for Tchum and B'mkomo doesn't mean Alpai Mama. Alpkomo means Yud Beis Mil. And Alpai Mama, that's 1 mil. Alpai Mama is 1 mil. That's Midr Rabbanim. So the Mechaber Paskin like that Yud Beis Mil is the Raisa, and the Ramah Paskins, like the Bali Ateis is the for the Ashkenazim, that all Tchumen is the Rabban, even Yud Beis Mil is also only Midr Rabban. What does it mean, Al Yetzi Ish Mim Komo? It means al yetzish mekama v'kelo biyado. When they used to go out every day, 6 days a week, except for Shabbos, they would bring out pots and pans or containers, and they would fill it up with mon. I'm a lagul galus for all the bnei habayis. So Hakadosh Baruch Hu told them on Shabbos, al yetzish mekama v'kelo biyado. You're not allowed to do haitzah. Shouldn't go out like you do the other 6 days of the week with Kalim in order to collect the mon. The mon will not fall on Shabbos. The mon will fall on Erev Shabbos. They should take a double portion on Erev Shabbos. It won't fall on Shabbos. So the Meshech Chochma suggests that according to that interpretation of the Medrash, Bayichan Espenehu, it means he was Kaveh Atchum Shabbos. It means that he realized that he already has the Yud Beis Shvatim, and he no longer has to be proactive to be Megayer. There is Meguri Aviv in the early years, before the Yud Beis Shvatim were born, he was also Megayer. But then after he realized, that's it, he has his own gigantic family with 12 children, with the four wives, and this is Klal Yisrael. So now we're Or LaGoyim in a passive way, not in an active way. We're not doing such a gewaltige job at being Or LaGoyim. The Rosh HaMemshalah was sitting in prison, and the mayor of Yerushalayim was sitting in prison, and members of the Knesset were sitting in prison. A chief rabbi was sitting in prison. One of the presidents was sitting in prison. It was supposed to be in Orla Goyim, and not in Shabbos and Kashrus and Taras HaMishpacha. Orla Goyim, the Novi Yeshaya has that expression a few times. The Jews are supposed to be Orla Goyim, light unto the nation. We're supposed to show them decency, honesty, sincerity, not to be cutting corners and cheating and bluffing and so on. We haven't done such a good job throughout all the generations about that. But that's what it's supposed to be in all our going. The Pasuk tells us that Yosef told the father Loshon Hara about the brothers. What happened to the din of Lashon Hara? It does not, there's a din of Lashon Hara. So in one of the Sfarim, this is Sefer Afike Yam, by one of the Rabbanim in Europe after the First World War, he quotes things from Rav Chaim Soloveitchik that he heard. He quotes some other contemporary Gedolim. If I'm not mistaken, I think he was first a businessman. There were a few Gedolim like that. They were in business. Like the Chayyadim was a businessman all the years. In his old age, they appointed him as a dayan in a building. He wrote his Torah when he was a businessman. The Chayyadim and the Chochmas Adam. So he was, all of his psalkim were so accepted, so that they made him a dayan. So in this Sefer, Afike Yam, he quotes from the Chafetz Chaim, from the Sefer Chafetz Chaim, it's only permissible to tell Lashon Hara the Toelos Lahabo. And the Chofetz Chaim quotes the Gemara in Pesachim, I think that it's permissible if you see a Talmud doing something improper, you're permitted to tell a Rebbe if you think you'll get somewhere. If I'll give the kid Musa, he won't listen to me. If I tell his Rebbe, and the Rebbe will give him Musa, so there's a better chance that he will listen. So Vayav Yosef is the Bosom Royal Aviyam. Yosef is telling the father that the brothers are doing Averis, that the father should give him Tochocha. Stop to tell the father to aggravate him, or to tell Lashon Hara that's not permissible. But if it's L'Toelos Labo, then it's Mutter. But the Chofetz Chaim writes, he quotes the Gemara, then the Chofetz Chaim writes that it's only permissible if you say the story the way it is. You're not allowed to embellish it, you're not allowed to make it worse than it was. So the Afike Yam suggests maybe that's why it says Vayove Yosef. Why doesn't it say Vayagid Yosef? Why Vayove Hevi? So he says, like, you take the story as it happened, and you should present it exactly the way it was. He didn't embellish it. That's why it was mutter. I think in one of the Sfarim that they wrote over different drushas from Moshe Feinstein, he writes about why HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Lashon Hara to Avraham Avinu about his wife Sarah. That Sarah, when she heard that she's going to have a baby, she was laughing from disbelief. Avraham Avinu was laughing from joy. When they told him he's going to have a baby, he believed it, but he was laughing from joy. So that wasn't an Avera. But Sarah was laughing from disbelief. So why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu tell Lashon Hara to Avraham Avinu? So he says, well, Avraham Avinu was the Rebbe of Sarah. So he thought, not just the husband. And he thought because he was the one who had influenced her to become monotheistic, his wife was one of his talmidot. So that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu felt, if I'll tell Avraham Avinu what happened, instead of me giving bopping Sarah over the head in person, I'll tell her Rebbe, and the Rebbe will give it to Chacham. Maybe that'll be better. So he interprets the same by HaKadosh Baruch Hu with Avraham Avinu. What was the Lashon Hara that he said that they were eating Avim and Achai? They were eating Avim and Achai. And they were Mizazlan and Menel Shvochas Lekrosam Avodim. So how come they ate Avim and Achai? So in the different Svarim, they have a famous interpretation. The Mefarshim and the Medrash are explaining, what did the Shvatim think? So they were eating Eiv Manachai from Ben Pekua. That the din is, if you shecht the cow and it's pregnant, and after the shechita, then the vlad comes out. So the vlad is nita b'shechita, sima min ha-Torah does need its own shechita. With the Rabbanon, a later generation, they made it akar mishum arisayin, you have to do shechita and the Ben Pekua. That's a question, whether you do shechita with a bracha, without a bracha. In Hilchos Chanukah, it says that if you have a house that has a Pesach, a big house, and it has a Pesach on one side of the house that faces one street, the other side of the house faces the other street. So if you've got a bench Chanukah licht on this side, people on the other street will be choish at you. There'll be a marisayin problem. They'll think that you're not lighting the Erez Chanukah. If you light on this side, they'll be choish at you that you didn't light the Erez Chanukah. So Gemara says you have to light by sheish l'shem psochim. You have to light on both. The first one you light is the mitzvah. The second one you light is only the shame marisai. So the Shulchan Aruch says, they quote, I think they run on that Gemara and Bema Madlikin, that when they do a mitzvah for the purpose of marisayin, you don't recite a bracha. Let's say you shave with an electric shaver in order not to violate the yisur of shaving with a razor. So you don't recite a bracha. Shekidishonim in mitzvah yisavitzivanu shalola galech betar. When you go to a kosher restaurant and you eat, you don't say a bracha. Shekedishana v'mitzvah yisav v'tzivanu shalol lecha macholos asuris. The Rosh, in the beginning of Ksubas, raises the issue. How come in the Birchas Erisin, it's a funny bracha. Shekedishana v'mitzvah yisav v'tzivanu al ha'royas. I'm going to marry a girl who's not a prohibited marriage. So you say, Shekedishana v'tzivanu al ha'royas. V'asalanas ha'rusim hitalanas. What a funny bracha. What kind of a bracha is that? A birchas mitzvah only said when you're about to perform a mitzvah, so I'll say here you're going to avoid violation of a loisas. So the Rosh says that shita's balmeyatay. So the Rosh always presents shita's balmeyatay. The Rosh was the end of the long period of balmeyatay. There used to be yeshivas in Europe, but they learned Gemara, Rashi, and Rosh. They didn't learn the taisus. A lot of times taisus has a whole pilpul. The Rosh has the part of the pilpul that's negiah la'alocha. He leaves that. Sometimes the irrelevant parts of the pilpa, the parts are not so strong. The Rosh only quotes the more important parts of the text. So there were such yeshivas in Europe years ago. In recent years there wasn't, but years ago there were. So the Rosh raises this issue on the Birchas Erisin, what kind of a bracha. So he says it's a right that the Rambam is wrong. The Rambam and the Ravid both hold that the Birchas Erisin is a Birchas HaMitzvah, but the Rambam holds that they're two separate mitzvahs, one mitzvah Piri V'Rivi, one mitzvah Lisa Isha B'Ksuvah V'Kiddushin, to get married. And the Rosh thinks that it's only a Heksha mitzvah. Getting married is to enable you to have children. If you're not married, boy, how are you going to have children? You're not going to have an affair with a single girl. So the Rosh thinks, like Tosfos, that Birchas Erisin is a Birchas Shevach V'Hodor. So we praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he gave us a whole different set of regulations. We have a different list of forbidden marriages, relatives, a bigger list of arayas. We have erisin and nisuin, v'asalanas harus, v'italanas hanasuas. The Bnei Nech don't have erisin and nisuin. They don't have three kinds of kiddushin. We have kesub shtar abia. By the Bnei Nech, they only have tulas bal yesh lahem. That's what the Rosh presents. Shitas Balei Atos, Birchas Erisin is not a Birchas HaMitzvah at all, it's a Birchas Shevach Vayidoy. And that's why Birchas HaMitzvah, usually in Ruba de Ruba, is recited, Oyva Lasi Asam, the Gemara says, Kol HaMitzvahs Kulam, Mevorach Aleim Oyva Lasi Asam, that's in Sochem and Dav Zayin. By Ashkenazim, they have a minig that the Bracha on Atilas Yadayin, and for bread, and the Bracha on Hadlokas Neiris for Shabbos is recited, Lachar Asi Asam, and it's very questionable if it's right or not. But Birchas Shevach Vayidoy is always recited, Lachar Asi Asam. After you see the ocean, then you say the bracha. After you see the mountains, you don't close your eyes. The pilot announces, "We're soon going to see the Mediterranean." Everybody close their eyes and say the bracha, and then open up your eyes. You don't say the bracha over Lasiyasa. When you hear the thunder, you say the bracha. When you see the lightning, you don't say it as you're about to hear the thunder, as you're about to see the lightning. Birchas, that's the shaila. When you say the bracha, Matzoi Shabbos Barim Yori Ho'esh, is that a birchas hanenin? How can it be a Birchas HaNenen? So we should say a bracha every day when we have Hanoah from Eish. It's not a Birchas HaNenen. It's a Birchas Shevach V'Hodoh. Why do we recite it on Matzoi Shabbos? And the Medrash says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu taught the Marishan on Matzoi Shabbos how to harness the energy from fire. And all the progress in the scientific world came from harnessing the energy from the power of the fire. So since HaKadosh Baruch Hu taught the Marishan on Matzoi Shabbos, we recite the bracha Matzoi Shabbos, it's a birchas shevach. It's not a birchas hanenin. Birchas hanenin has to be recited before you eat the food. Birchas shevach should be recited after. So that's a machlokes achrayim. Where they say the bracha bar mi'areish before you get the hanoah or after you get the hanoah. The Gemara says in bracha, "Eim bracha malaner." You only say the bracha Matzoi Shabbos ad sheyosu la'oro. Only if you can gain benefit. So you say the bracha after getting the benefit or as you're about to gain the benefit. So that's a machloike sachroinim. The Yismach Moshe is a chsidish sefer by the ancestor of the Satmar Rebbe. Teitelbaum. His name was Teitelbaum. Ichsam Sefer has a tshuva to the Yismach Moshe. I think he was the first chsidish Rebbe in Hungary. Chassidus started in Ukraine and in Poland. I think he was the first Chassidus he read in Hungary. And Teitelbaum is what kind of a tree is Teitel? Is a date tree. So that's what Chassam Sefer sends a tshuva to him. He has a tshuva. He always has who the tshuva was sent to. A lot of Shalosh Tshuvos, they don't say who the tshuva was sent to, they just give the tshuva. And the Chassam Sefer, Moshe Pasha, always has the name to whom it was sent. Chassam Sefer just has very few tshuvas where he doesn't write who it was sent to, because he didn't want to, I think it was printed after the Chassam Sefer passed away, they didn't want to insult the people. So in those tshuvas where he says, "Are you off your rocker? Are you crazy?" So they left out the name of the person to whom it was sent. But one of them, where he has, "Are you an apikoris?" So one of them, when they printed the Chassam Sefer, they didn't want to write who it was sent to. But the one who received the letter was very proud of his correspondence with the Chassam Sefer. So he published his Sefer, my correspondence with the Chassam Sefer. So he printed his letter and the Chassam Sefer's response to Maritz Chayes. So he has in the letter, the Chassam Sefer, "Are you an apikoris? You don't believe?" So he was very proud of his correspondence, so we know who. That's it. Without the Maritz Chayes' letter, you don't fully understand what the Chassam Sefer wrote. Because the Chassam Sefer responded paragraph by paragraph. For every paragraph that the Maritz Chayes wrote, the Chassam Sefer responded on that. So that's why in that tshuva he says, and the Rambam says in the Mor Nevuchim, where did he, in the middle of nowhere, because that Maritz Chayes quoted the Mor Nevuchim. So in that paragraph in the Chassam Sefer's tshuva, he responds and about the Mor Nevuchim that you quoted. He doesn't say that you quoted. See, people don't understand. In the middle of nowhere, the Chassam Sefer is quoting more in the book. He responds paragraph by there's some tshuvas in the Chassam Sefer that they're not sure exactly what he's talking about, because we don't know what the Shaila wants. Sometimes they're not sure exactly what the Chassam Sefer told him. They don't know what the Shaila is. They don't know what he's responding to. Anyway, so the Chassam Sefer has a tshuva to the Yismach Moshe. So he refers to him as a goyen tzadik atoma yifroch. Because a Tomer is a Teitelbaum. He's a date tree. And his name, his family name is Teitelbaum. Anyway, so the Yisra B'chamayisha has Chassidish Divrei Torah on Parshas HaShavua on Chumash. So in one of his he has a lot of drushes. One of his drushes, he talks about this Machlekes Achronim, where he's supposed to get Hanoah from the light first, and then say the bracha, or you should dafke say the bracha before you get Hanoah. I remember someone once asked Rav Soloveitchik, so he said, which way should you do? He said, what's the difference? The Gemara says, as long as you're close enough that you can get pleasure, you don't even have to get Hanoah. So the whole thing is only a meaning that you look at your fingers, and you look at the shade, and you stretch your hands out, and he said, what's the difference? Well, you do like this, you do like that. Al Pidin, you don't have to get Hanoah at all. So there's nothing to discuss. That's why in all the Satmar shuls all over the world, they'll always have a painting of a date tree, because that's title volume is a date tree. Tzadikatama Yifuk. They'll have to have a date tree and they'll write the pasuk on the wall. Tzadikatama Yifuk, because they're following the title. Again, so in the Svarim, they talk about this, how could it be that they were eating Ev Menachayim? So they say it was probably was a Ben Pekua. So what was Yosef upset about? Why did Yosef think that it's, why was he telling the father that they did wrong, they did right? So then, Mishlam Melech has a sefer on Agoda called Parashas Drachim. So the first essay, the Mishlam Melech Sefer, is about the Ovis Kodem Matan Torah, whether they had the din of Bnei Noach or the din of Yisrael. So he has this pshetel over there. One of the Chassidish Tzadikim said many years ago, from the early Chassidish Tzadikim, that how do they know this? I don't know. He says when the Mishlam Melech Sefer was printed, there was a big kitrug and klal yisrael and bezon shel maila, why they're making letzanas out of the Torah. That they're giving pshatlach to interpret what was the machlokes between Yosef and Yosef and the brothers. Okay. How did the Rebbe know there was a kitrug? I don't know. He knew the inside story. So that's famous in Mishlam Melech has that this was the machlokes Yosef and the brothers, whether they had a din of Yisrael or they had a din of Menachah. So the brothers held that they had a din of Yisrael. So Ev Menachai doesn't apply to Ben Pekua. And Yosef held they had a din of Bnei Noach. They weren't Yotzi Mechlal Bnei Noach. They still had a din of Bnei Noach. So by Bnei Noach, there is no inyan of Shechita. So you can't say that the Vlad is Nita b'Shechita Sima does not Shechita. By Bnei Noach, there is no such din. So some interpret. The brothers were mevaza the bnei hashvachas likrosim avodim. Why? Because they held that bila v'zilpa were pilakshim. Pilakshim is balikidushin. By Yisrael, there's a difference between an isha and a pilagish. Pilagish is with kidushin. An isha is with kidushin. Pilagish is balikidushin. So the other shvatim were making fun of the Bnei Hashvachas Likrosim Avodim, because they felt that the Bila V'Zilpa were Pilakshim, and they held they had a Din Yisrael. So there's a difference between Pilakshim and Anisha. And Yosef held that, so it says, it's Bnei Bila, it's Bnei Zilpa Nishay Aviv. What does it say, Nishay Aviv? He held, you can't say that they're Pilakshim. The difference between a Pilegesh in Anisha is whether yes, with Kiddushin or without Kiddushin. Good morning. Shalom Aleichem. Shalom Aleichem. So the difference with Kiddushin, without Kiddushin, that's only if you hold had a din of Israel. If you have a din of Bnei Noach, so there is no Kiddushay Kesav Nishtad, there's only Bia, Bilas Bal Yeshlam. And Yankov Vino was the din of Bila Bezilpa also. So there was issues for them. So that's why it says, "Who knows Bnei Bilas Bnei Zilpa Nishay Aviv? Why Nishay Aviv? He held, Yosef held that they had the same type of a wife as Rachel Valeya, because they had a din of Bnei Noach. They didn't have a din of Yisrael by Bnei Noach. Bulas Bal Yesh Lahem Nichnas Luchav Valeya Nivalein Lahem. That's all the famous Pshetlach from the Mishnah Melech and the first Maimon. The other Maimonim in the essays of the Mishnah Melech are not like that. That's not, the others are normal. He talks about Malchus Beit David, he talks about Eretz Yisrael, he talks about Tzedakah, about Tefillah. Different essay, just quotes a lot of Agadas and he puts them all together. He shows a Mahalach how to understand Agadah. But the first Maimer is the famous one that some of the Chassidish Tzadikim said there was a big kitrig in Bezer Shamayla, as if he's making letzones out of all the Midrashim, with all the Pshetlach. The Pasuk says that because Yaakov Avinu showed favoritism to the son Yosef, that's why there was jealousy and that's why they hated Yosef. So the Gemara says, the Gemara condemns Yaakov Avinu. The Gemara says in Masechah Shabbos, Yolam Al Yishad Adam Bein Bein Abadim, you're not allowed to treat one child, you're not allowed to have a favorite child. You're not allowed to treat one child differently from the others. Look what happened over here. They almost killed Yosef because the father had him as the favorite child and he gave him a Ksonis Pasim. And that's what started all the trouble. So the Pasuk is condemning Yaakov Avinu for doing that. Usually we assume the Torah tells stories about the others, so we should learn the way we should act, how we should raise our children. But here the Pasuk says the way Yaakov Avinu acted was improper. It brought about the whole hatred between the brothers. So there are more comments. The Pasuk is telling us that you shouldn't be like Yaakov Avinu. This thing that he did was incorrect. Why did he have to make trouble? Why did he have to tell the brothers about his dream? So the Mefarshim say he felt that it was a nevuah. He didn't want to violate Kodesh Nevuasa. He felt that he was given a nevuah. The father sent Yosef to do kibrav, see what's doing, and give me back a report. So usually we have a klal in the sugya in the first parak of Pesachim, shluchei mitzvah einim nizokim. Here a great tragedy occurred. Look, the brothers sold them into slavery. It was terrible. So what happened to the klal, shluchei mitzvah einim nizokim? The answer is that it was, the Gemara says, If you know in advance shluchim mitzvah nizokim, if it's a normal situation, but if there's a miut hamotzui of a sakona, then the klal doesn't apply shluchim mitzvah nizokim. If it's less than miut hamotzui, then you don't have to worry about it. But if it's a miut hamotzui, then you do. The brothers hated him, so that's why the klal didn't apply over here. Beis Halevi discusses, why did the father have to tell him, Lech narei shlam achech v'shlam atzam, what do you have to add on v'hashiv eini dover? Obviously v'hashiv eini dover. He wanted him to be a shliach mitzvah, both b'halichosai and b'chazirosai. But what do you need b'chazirosai? The Gemara says, shluch mitzvah, nizokim, lo b'halichosam, lo b'chazirosam. So why was it necessary that he should make, I don't remember, Beis Halevi says something about that. Why was it necessary for Yaakov Avinu to make Yosef a shliach mitzvah, even coming back? Anyway, the great tragedy occurred, and we're still paying for that. The split in Klal Yisrael, that they don't live in peace and harmony together. And the Gemara says that the Asorah Harugei Malchus, the Midrashim have the Asorah Harugei Malchus, but because Goyim Nefesh and Mechorev and Imtzibiyod Amos Yumas. So we are all descendants from the brothers who sold Yosef, Goyim Nefesh and Mechorev. So we, Klal Yisrael is still fighting with each other. So that's the fight between Yosef and the brothers. It keeps on going on. Lasid Lavi, the Nevi'im tell us that all the Shvatim will live in peace and harmony with each other. The Pasuk said, Vayishma Ruven, Vayatzi Lehem, Yodam, Vayam Alon, Alkeno Lefesh. He says, Hashlich Lassal Abor Azeh, Hashibam, Yodam Tishlich Mo, throw him into the bar. But then Rashi quotes the Medrash that when they threw him into the bar, Aborek Embo Mayim. Mayim Embo Av Nechosh Makrabim Yeshbo. So what did they gain by throwing him into a boat that had Nechosh Makrabim? He's going to be killed by the scorpions and the snakes. They're going to bite him till he's going to die. So what did he gain? So some Rishonim say on the Pasuk, Hashlichuhu el abor hazeh. He said this boar, and then by mistake he left. Then the brothers threw him into a different boar. Vayishlichu asabor to a different boar, and the other boar had nechosh makrab. The first boar didn't have. Others say that that's not the pshat that the Gemara has in Bamem Adlikin, the whole sugya of Chanukah, and the Gemara quotes the same Amoira in the name of his Rebbe, as saying that if you put in Chanukah the Malam Esrei Mama L'Sholta Be'Eina, so you're not becoming the mitzvah because you need Pisumi Nisa. You have to have Pisumi Nisa. Malam Esrei Mama L'Sholta Be'Eina. And then the same Amoira is the one who says, V'borek Eim Amayim L'Chosham HaKrab Niyeshbo. So the Mefarshim and the Gemara say the two are connected. Why? What did they think they're going to gain by throwing him into the boar? Then the Chosham HaKrab, they're going to kill him. They're going to bite him to death. The answer is no, the boar was more than 20 amas deep, so that's what they couldn't see. There was Lo Shalta Be'ena. They couldn't see what was on the bottom of the boar. So that's why the same Amora has the two members. They thought that by throwing him into the boar, they won't be killing him, be a dying. Then Yehuda wasn't the oldest of the brothers. Reuben was the oldest of the brothers. Yehuda was recognized as the Melech. They all respected him. So Yehuda felt he's going to be blamed. He's going to be blamed over here if anything happens to Yosef. So he said, "My betzah ken arik sachinim chesinu as dam ulchubinim kerena la yishmeilim. We'll sell him into slavery." So the vayishmu echav, and all the brothers listened. They were all kafuf to Yehuda. So the Gemara quotes the pasuk in Tehillim, but Seh Berech Neitz Hashem, one who praises the one who makes a compromise. But Seh Betza is a compromise. One who praises the one who makes a compromise, and Neitz Hashem is if he's cursing God. He's not allowed to make any compromises on the mitzvahs. So the Gemara has a comment that we shouldn't praise Yehuda. He does not deserve praise. Reuven deserves praise. The pasuk says, Reuven wanted to save him from the brothers. He really wanted to save him. But Yehuda was making a compromise over here. He shouldn't have made a compromise. Whatever he would say, they would listen. So whoever praises Yehuda, he said, "My betzah, but Seh Berch, one who praises, the one who makes a compromise, is Neitz Hashem." Says they come back to Yaakov Avinu and they show him the Ksanas Pasim and it's all bloody. And the father misunderstood and he thought that Yosef was killed. He refused to accept Tanchumin. The Rashi quotes a Medrash that usually Benoik Shabbo'ilam, a person loses a close relative after Yud Beis Chodesh. That's the Shir Shikha. After Yud Beis Chodesh, you don't keep on sobbing about the death of a close relative. After Yud Beis Chodesh, you forget. But Rashi quotes the Medrash, it's only a Gzer al Ameis, but Yosef was alive. So that's why Ve'imoyin Lehistachem. It's not a natural thing. It's not a natural thing that after a year, you forget. Usually, it's a Gzer al Ameis, after Yud Beis Chodesh, you forget. So that's why the meaning in Chutz Lartz is that you put up a Matzeva after Yud Beis Chodesh. The purpose of the Matzeva, that you shouldn't forget about the person. That's why the Yerushalmi says, if a Talmud Chacham dies, you don't have to put him on Seva, because we're not going to forget him. We're going to say his Divrei Torah in his name, so we're always going to remember him. There's no need for a Matzeva. So Rabbi Kivega writes on Yeridaya that the minig is that you put up a matzeva around your Beis Chodesh, some have a little before your Beis Chodesh, some have after, when you're about to forget him or you already forgot him. So that's only a gzeira al ames, that he'll be mishtakech. But achai, you know, mekabel tanchumen. Not a natural thing. It's a gzeira min hashemayim. And if the person's still alive, it doesn't happen. So Yehuda marries a basish kanani that was not right. They were not supposed to. Doesn't say that she converted. Maybe she did convert, but from the Knainim, from the Zainumis, it wasn't right. That's a pasuk loses chatan bam. It says later when you come to Eretz Yisrael and you meet up with the Zainumis, it says you're not allowed to marry loses chatan bam. So the Gemara has a machlekes hamarayim and it's machlekes Rashi and Tesis. What does that mean? So Tesis says the maskanas haGemara is loses chatan bam goes bigerusam after the Zainumis convert and they become Jewish. They're not allowed to marry Jewish people. They have to marry gerim. Kalgam Laikr called the Gerim are permitted to marry Ptsuadaka, Khrushchevcha, the Gerim are permitted to marry Mamzerim. Whenever there's a din, Leover Bekoho, so Kalgam Laikr called the Gerim Amutim and all the Psude Koho. But so Taisa's sheet is that the Zainum is Lachash and his Gairu, Arosim and Atoira. And Rashi holds not so. Rashi holds that it's a machlek to Samarai, many Gemara and Yavamas. Rashi holds that loses chatan bam only goes binochri yusum, that you're not allowed to intermarry with a non-Jew, even though there's no tvisas kedushin. How do you translate loses chatan bam? If it's derech asnus, if you got married in a secular court, so that's what's awesome. But lachash and his gairu, Rashi holds that that's only an isa derabban. That's called the Nesinim. The Nesinim are the Zainumash and his Gairum. Why are they called Nesinim? Because it says, they converted, but they couldn't marry Jewish people, either Menatorah, Midirabonim. So Yeshua ben Nun declared, let them be Avodim, let them be. So because of that pasuk in Sefer Yeshua Vayitnim, that's why we refer to the Zainumash and his Gairum as the Nesinim. We usually assume like Tosfos. Tosfos disagrees with Rashi. They hold that the Nesinim is an Issa Deraisa, even Bigerusim, even after they convert, still an Issa Nesinim in Atar. It says the Dovid was Gozo Aleim. Well, what did Dovid have to be Gozo if it's an Issa Deraisa? So they say, no, Dovid was Gozo Abdus. Yeshua ben Nun was Gozer Abdus, Vayitim Yeshua Dechoy Tveitz Meshol Mayim, he was Gozer Abdus, but it's only for that generation. Yeshua David repeated the Gzeira later on, David was Gozer Olem. And Rashi says, no, David goes Olem, that you're not allowed to marry them. The Holy Chasnus is only made the Rabbonim. And then there's a Ramban, has an intermediate Shita between Rashi and Tosfos, where the Nesinim is an Issa Deraisa and Issa Rabbonim. So the Ramban says that the Zainumash and his Gairu, that person who used to be from the Zainumash, then he converts. That's an Issa Deraisa. But when he marries he'll marry a Gioris, and then they'll have children. So the children are also Nesinim. Havlad Halachachara Pogum. When the father or the mother is a Mamza, the father and mother is one that Nesinim. So the Vlodis will also be Nesinim. They'll carry over the Psalm. So that's only the Rabban. That's a Ramban. That's an interesting Kiddush. The original Ger Shin is Gair from the Zainumas, that'll be an Issa Deraisa. He holds, the Ramban holds, that Tosfos is right. But the Gzera, that even Doris Aroser, that Havlad Halachachra Pogum, if one of the parents is from the Nesinim, then the children will also have the Psul. So that's only by the Rabbonim. Interesting, you have to understand what's the nature of the prohibition of Nesinim if it doesn't carry over to the Vlodis.
Third generation, does that also continue to be
Midrabanan
or go away?
Yeah, it doesn't go away.
Doesn't go away.
The other number, it goes on. Yeah. A Safik Mamzer is Mutter. mutam and atur. If you know that this is Safik Mamzer, then it's Asim the Rabbanim. Let's say Shtuki Vasufi. Shtuki means you know who the mother is, you don't know who the father is. When the child says, "Who is my father?" mother says, "Keep still, Shtuki." Asufi means you find a baby, someone had a baby, they left a baby in the hospital, left a baby on the steps to the police station. You don't know who the father is, you don't know who the mother is. So do you know that the child is Jewish or not? So the Mishnah says, at the end of the first parak in Ksubas, quotes the Mishnah, it depends what the roiv of the women who are of age to have children in the city. You assume that baby was born in the city. So if the roiv of the women, you don't include women 95 years old, they can't have babies. So the roiv of the women who are able to have babies, if they're Jewish, we go basura, we assume the baby's Jewish. If the roiv of the women are going, the babies are going. So if the roiv of the women are Jewish, but you don't know who the parents are at all. You don't know who the mother is. You don't know who the father is. So then there were guys that did the rabbanim shtuki vasufi. If the roiv of the women in the city are roi lohoilet agoyim, so we assume the child is a goy. It's a goy. So he doesn't have a din of mamzeris. If he'll convert, he won't be a mamzer. Even if a goy was a. They had it in the New York Times a couple of years ago. I remember I cut it out from the newspaper. The Archbishop of Canterbury tested his DNA and his mother's DNA and her husband's, his father's DNA, and it didn't stim. So he came to the realization he's the son of his mother, but he's not the son of his mother's husband. His father isn't his father. And then he figured out who is his father, some diplomat. The mother had an affair with a diplomat, and his DNA corresponds to that. The diplomat was very friendly with the mother. So they had this in the New York Times. So even if he'll convert, he won't be a mamzer, because there's no mamzeres by going. If you're born a Jew and you're a mamzer, so then you're stuck. If you're born a goy, you're a mamzer, so there's no din mamzeres. So the Mefarshim say it wasn't right that Yehuda married Basi Ishkanani Ishmoshua. But that's the Nesinim. You're not supposed to marry the Zainum. Even Lachash and his God could be that he was Megari then. He had a few sons. It's interesting. The Pasuk says that Yehuda married this girl. So she had the first baby, Vayikrishmo Er. The father gave a name Er. She had a second baby. She gave the baby a name Oinon. She had the third baby, and she gave the name. But doesn't it seem that first baby the father should give the name, second baby the mother gives the name? You alternate back and forth. How come the mother gave the baby, brother gave the third baby the name? It's the father's turn. He should have given the name. So the pasuk ends off. No, he wasn't in town. Yehuda was out of town that day. So that's what the Das Kain and Balei HaTosfos say on this pasuk. Who has the right to give a name to the baby if there's a fight between the father and the mother? So you alternate. The first baby, the father gives a name. Second baby, the mother gives a name. And you alternate. Unless the husband is out of town. So you don't wait half a year till you give the baby a name. So then the mother gave the name. Others say the meaning is faket. They made a collection of letters of the Lubavitcher Rebbe with the Yestam Shilas in Halacha. Halacha Minig. So like a couple of items of Shabbos and Chubas of the Lubavitcher Rebbe. So they asked him who has the right to name the baby. So he quotes the Das Kainim on this pasuk. The father has the right on the first baby. Rav Soloveitchik told over this story. He said, I was named after my great-grandfather. He was the first boy to be born after the Beis HaLevi died in the family. And he was the oldest child. So they named him Yosef Dov. So what's the kasha? So no, he was asked this. So what's the kasha? What's the kasha? We didn't understand what he's talking about. The kasha is the mother has the right to name the first baby. So how come my father gave me a name after his grandfather, the Beis HaLevi? The mother has the right. So he says Rav Chaim came to this mother in the hospital when she had the baby, and he said, if you'll agree, no one has a baby named after his father, the Beis HaLevi, yet. If you'll agree, even though Rav Chaim said the Loshen, he wasn't there, he was just an infant, but that's what they told him. That Rav Chaim told the mother, Al Pidin and Al Pi Minig, the mother has the right to name the first baby. But if you'll do me a taiva and you'll name the baby after my father, the Beis Halevi, I said, Dave, I'll agree to be the Sandik by the Bris, because the Rabchaim was always afraid to be a Sandik by Bris. So she agreed. She agreed, and that they're going to give the name, the baby the name Yosef. Then it came to be the Sandik. He disappeared. He didn't live up to his half of the deal. But it was already too late. They give the name after the Bris, but she already promised him he's going to give the name. So that's what he said. He was named after. He was the first boy named born in the family for many years. Basically, he died many years before. First boy, and his first born in his mother, in his parents' family. So, and it was named after his great-grandfather. So what's Shver? So he said, what Shver was, how come the father picked the name? The mother should have picked the name. And the Das Kanim says, Faket. So the Pasuk says that the children of Yehuda died because they did some kind of an Avera. Vayimisehu Hashem. He was Rabbi and Hashem, Vayimisehu Hashem. The Pasuk says what the Avera was, very unclear. Kilo lolia zora. Pshiches artza. So as he quotes from the Gemara, he violated Hotzor Zerah Levatola. Yeah, these Mefarshim understand that that's an Issa Deraisa. Some Achrayim and Ebenezer, some Achrayim think that Rov HaPoskim hold that it's only the Rabbanan. It's not an Issa Deraisa. But there is an Issa. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're not allowed to waste anything in the world. Bal Tashches, you're not allowed to waste anything. They were practicing Bovi Yabem Meseshe Sochicha. They were practicing Yibam Kodem Matan Torah. Maybe it was a minig. Shaila is, what if the woman is a katlanis? She already lost two husbands. Machleg Satanaim, how many husbands do you have to lose in order to have the status of a katlanis? Two or three. Machleg Rebbe, Reb Shimon Gamliel, a father and a son. Rebbe was the son of Reb Shimon Gamliel. He often disagrees with his father. In Yeridaya, they quote in Hilchas Kibbut Aviyim in the third Chelik Yeridaya, one of the dinim Amora Aviyim is that you don't disagree with your parents. So how can Rabbi disagree with Reb Shimon and Gamliel? So that's what they explain over there. You're not allowed to disagree. Let's say my father tells me his arthritis tells him that it's going to snow today. So I said, Dad, they had on the news today. It's going to rain. It's not going to snow. What's the difference between going to snow? It's not going to snow. So don't argue with your father. Unless he insists I have to put on the snow tires. So I don't have to listen to him. But don't argue with him. But if my father's a prominent rabbi and he says, vote for this candidate, and I'm afraid people are going to listen to my father and he's the wrong candidate, then I have to disagree with my father. I have to publicize, I don't agree. And I hope and pray that people won't listen to my father because he's paskening wrong. He's getting it wrong. He's misleading the public. So Rebbe, Reb Shimon Gamliel, they often disagree with each other. Rebbe has to disagree. Holds halacha not like his father. He has to disagree. You don't disagree when it's irrelevant. But if it is Neger Ledina, and people, his father was the chief rabbi, was the Nasi, so he had to disagree with him to say, I don't agree. People shouldn't do the wrong thing. Anyway, that's a shaila. Is there a din? So the machlegs Rebbe, Reb Shimon Gamliel, whether betrays him, they have a chazok, or betlas him, they have a chazok. So what's the din if a woman is a katlanis, do you still fulfill the mitzvah of Yibum or not? So the Rama holds, the Ramam writes in the Tshuva, the whole story of katlanis is a baba maisa. The whole thing is just superstition. And the Gemara has all the klolim, two times, three times, all things. Those who are concerned about the superstition, so when do they have to be concerned? But you don't have to be concerned. And the Rambam, the Rambam's father, Rabbi Maimon, was a Talmud of the Rimagash. The Rimagash was a Talmud of the Rif in Spain. The Rif originally was in Fez. That's why he's called Yitzhak Al-Fazi. He lived in Fez, the capital of Morocco. And then at the age of 75, he had to run away because they were accusing him of being Morid ben Malchus, which is ridiculous. A 78-year-old man is going to be Morid ben Malchus. So he ran away to Spain and he started his second career. And all the famous students of the Rif are from the second, from his later career, from the second career. So the Rambam was the son of Rabbeinu Maimon, who was a Talmud of the Rimei Gash. So the Rambam was very taken by the Rimei Gash. He describes him Sichlo Mavis b'chol haTalmud. He was a super genius. He knew all over. And the Rambam hardly ever disagrees with him. Very rare that the Rambam is going to disagree with the Rimei Gash. So the Rambam has a tshuva where he quotes the Rimei Gash would be Masada Kiddushin for a woman who was a katlanis. Rimei Gash said that all of those gemaras about katlanis, the whole thing is only for those who have superstition. And if you're not concerned about it, the whole thing is a baloney. Just forget it. In Shulchan Aruch they quote that. They quote the tshuva of Rambam. Say you can always be mitzar of that. There are always tzadim to be mekel. And I have a cousin, a female cousin. So her first husband was a regular yeshiva guy. He had a heart condition before they got married. He had a few children, then he died from his heart condition. So that's not, she's not at fault. He had a heart condition before. Then her second husband was 30 years older than her. He was her teacher in Maimonides in Boston. My uncle taught in Maimonides. He was a Muslim from the yeshiva. So he was 30 years older than her. So he died at an old age. When they got married, he was 30 years older. He was retired already. And then her third husband was a normal guy, a Russian Jew who came to Eretz Yisrael. My cousin lives in Eretz Yisrael. A Russian Jew came to Eretz Yisrael. He worked for a living. So my uncle said, finally she married a normal guy. The first guy was a kolonik. The second guy was a retired rebbe. The third husband was a normal husband who worked for a living. So she didn't have a din of katlanis, because the first husband we knew in advance, he had a heart condition. Second husband, he was 80 or something when he died. So we knew in advance he was much older than his. Of course he's going to die first. So that whenever they make a lan, usually they make a lan the katlanis, they always start in lahakon. So one of the additional study means that the Rimei Gash, quoted by the Rambam, says the whole thing is baloney to begin with. So that's in the parsha. Yehuda was afraid. He didn't want Sheila to do Yibum because she was a katlanis. So apparently, according to Matan Torah, the minhag was, even by the non-Jews, perhaps, the minhag was that they would practice Yibum not only the brother of the mace, other relatives. So that's why she was chalashing. She was chalashing to have. Tamar was dying to have children from the Jewish family, so she dressed up like a prostitute, and she became pregnant from Yehuda. Then she had the twins. He promised that he would pay her. And Esnan Zayna, he gave her a Gdi Izim. So then when he sent his business partner, Biad Re'ehu Hadulomil, to give the Gdi Izim to the prostitute and to take back the Mashkin, the Eirovin that he had given her, so they couldn't, the people said, there is no prostitute here. So Yehuda said, okay, so give me back the Gdi, we're not mechuyev to look for her. So here's a guy visited out of town, a certain community on Shabbos. So we slept by one balabas who we used to learn in the yeshiva years ago. So I don't remember, maybe it was Parshas Vayeshev. Maybe it was Parshas Vayeshev. So he had learned in Rabbi Reichman's shir when he was a student in the yeshiva. So he remembered Rabbi Reichman told over a story. The Bnei Yisoschar was a chassidus rebbe, Pirsh Melodinovich. So he has this story. He tells it which Chassidish Rebbe. There was a certain Chassidish Rebbe who came to town, and he was going to say Divrei Torah by Shalosh Yehudas. So one of the Misnagdim wanted to see what the Rebbe is like, what kind of Torah he says. So he lived on the other side of town. So he walked through the Goyishe section of the city, and he came to the Tish, and the Rebbe said, he can't say Divrei Torah until the Noef leaves the room. Who's the Noef? So he said, Then the Rebbe, everybody was looking, and Rebbe, who's the Noiv over here? They were all chassidim. The only one who was nachasim was the Misnagan, who walked from the other side of town. So the Misnagan, when he walked through the other side of town, he walked through the whole non-Jewish section, and it was the summertime, so the women were half undressed. And when he was walking through, so he noticed that women were not dressed properly. So then the Rebbe said, Ey hazayna, hibo inayim ala darech. Someone walked from the other side of town to listen to my Torah. That's what this nus is, because he saw the women were half undressed. So he saw that the Rebbe had Ruach HaKodesh. He was talking about him, that he came from the other side of town. So it's interesting, the Rabbi Reichman's student remembered that. He didn't tell him, Alan Diri Torah told me over that word that he said over from the Pish Melech Dinaveh. That's the pasuk in today's seder. He says, "Hotziva b'sisareif." They find out that she's pregnant, so she was mezana. So they have to. Since when you give the death penalty to a prostitute? Sanudin. So the Rishonim quote Rabbi Yehuda Chosid, who interprets that hotziva b'sisareif. That we're going to burn like the Scarlet Letter. There's a novel, The Scarlet Letter. The girl was a prostitute, so they burnt an A for adulteress. They burnt an A in her forehead, so everyone should see that she looked ugly, so she's not going to get any more business because she looked ugly. So the Rabbi Yehuda Chassid said, that's what it means over here. Tzio v'siso, it does mean burn her alive, it does mean put her to death, it means the burn on her cheek. That's how the Rebbe Yehuda Chassid burn on her cheek, and the Rosh says, and now the minig by the guy means that they burn Abba Meitzach on the forehead. That's the scarlet letter. So when some of the other Rishonim quote this, they say, Chas v'shalom, Rebbe Yehuda Chassid would never say against the Gemara. The Gemara says she was a descendant, Bita Shel Shem. That Tomer was and Shem was a Kohen Gadol, was a Kohen. Hu Kohen l'kel al yom. He was a Kohen. So because it was a kohen, so bas kohen shezinsa is besreifa. Yeah, bas kohen shezinsa besreifa if she's married. If she's single, then not besreifa. But that's, the Gemara interprets besisareif, give it the death penalty. So how can Rabbi Yehuda Chassid would never say that. But a few Rishonim quote then. That was his interpretation, besisareif. So she didn't say that she's pregnant from her father-in-law. She said, Leisha she'elala anochi haro. So Yehuda said, by Yaakov Yehuda said, Tzadkavimeni. She's the one who made her pregnant, so she wanted to be Mekai in the mitzvah of Yibum, so she doesn't deserve to be punished. So she was prepared, that's what the Gemara points out. Tamar was prepared to let them kill her in order not to be Malvim Penachaver Barabin. That's very surprising. So Tosa, that's what the Gemara says. Mutab lohadim lahat lo'atzma l'tach kibshan ha'esh. So Tosa asked the Kasha, how come it's not listed in the Sugya and Sanhedrin by Yehorg Val Yavar? How come the Gemara doesn't say? So Tosa says, no, this is the Farish and the Pasuk. You don't have to say that. The Gemara has to tell you that by the Zogil, Arise, and Shvichas Dam, that's not the Farish and the Pasukim. But this is a Pasuk, so this is a double Pasuk that you say Yehorg Val Yavar. Rabbi Yoyne writes in the Shari Tshuva a different interpretation that he is of the opinion. There's a big machloikis in Rishonim and a stir in Shulchan Aruch had a Paschal. What's a din? They only say Yehorig Val Yavar on the actual Aveira itself. What about the Abizrahi? What about Isurim that are related? Like that story, the boy took a girl on a date and they went on a Ferris wheel and the Ferris wheel was up in high and it was 5 o'clock. So the fellow turned off the electricity and went home. They were screaming. Let us come down. He didn't hear them, and he went home. So the girl said, she's not allowed to stay there with the boy. They're going to stay there all night long. So the boy said, well, you're crazy. You're going to get killed. So she said, but that's Yehorig Val Yavar. You're not allowed to stay here. So the girl started to climb down the Ferris wheel. She fell down. She broke a leg, and she sued the company because they were negligent. So the judge said, if according to Jewish law, she was obligated to climb down, so they're obligated to pay. So she got an expert witness to testify that according to Jewish law, she was mechuyev to climb down, even run the risk of losing her life. That's a machlokes in the Rishonim. That's called Abizrahi of Gilei Arayis, not Gilei Arayis Mamish. Abizrahi of Gilei Arayis. He didn't marry that girl. This story was written up in the lawyer's newspaper. This is a separate newspaper that the lawyers have. So they wrote up this whole case. The boy was a prominent name, a famous name that you heard of. In Shulchan Aruch it's Astira, where they say, well, Yavan Ab is right, is that not? Shalah Hawi Pascha. So the Rabbi Yonah writes that since it's the Yahweh Gval Yavar and Shvichas Damim, and the Gemara says Amalim Pnechaver Barabim, people usually have rosy complexions. You have the blood is circulating, and when a person is humiliated, then his face turns white. So that's like Shvichas Damim. The blood didn't lose his blood didn't leave his circulatory system. He still has the blood in his system, but the blood goes out of his face. As if it's an Abizrayu of Shvichas Damim. An Abizrayu of Shvichas Damim. So the Rabbi Yonah says that the Gemara didn't have to list it when they list off all the cases of Yehoreg Bal Yavar. It's an Abizrayu of Shvichas Damim. So that's why it's understood. The Rambam doesn't quote this Gemara, though. So that's why the Rebbe of Soloveitchik said it's an Agarata, not to be taken, not necessarily to be taken literally. But that's the simple reading of the Gemara. Maybe the Gemara is Magzim. The Gemara considers Malbim Pnei Chaver Baram such a serious Avera. The simple reading of the Gemara, unless it says an Agarata, not to be taken literally, that it's preferable to give up your life rather than to be Malbim Pnei Chaver Baram. Yosef is known as Yosef HaTzadik because he controlled himself. The Pasuk says that Eshes Potiphar was trying to get him to sin with him, and he resisted. Vayikadabel Yosef Yom Yom. Every day she was pestering him. She wanted to have an affair with him, and he controlled himself. There's an interesting comment the Ibn Ezra has on the Pasuk in Yisro on Aseres Adibros. It says, Le Sachman Eishes V'yecha. So the Ibn Ezra asks a question, how can a person be told to control his emotions? You see a good-looking woman, so you have a desire. How can you say Lo Sachman Eishes V'yecha? Lo Sisaber Lo Sachman. So the Ibn Ezra says some things. Sometimes it's so obvious that we can control ourselves. Let's say Ibn Ezra gives the marshal. Would a farmer ever have a hamina to marry the king's daughter? The king will never let a plain man, a farmer, marry his daughter. The daughter's going to marry royalty. So he says, we should be so convinced that Eshes Chaveru is not for me. I can't have any shaychus. It should be like not marrying the king's daughter. No one has a havamina. The same thing now with all, if we would be strong in our conviction that the Torah min Hashemayim, and the Torah says that the religious people have a havamina to eat ham. We're brought up, we know you don't eat ham. You don't eat treifas. Even though it looks good, it tastes good, we don't even look at it. So if you know that an Eshes Ish is an Issa, so an Eshes Ish is like the Bas HaMelech. It's not Bo B'Cheshbon at all. If people are saying that they so have such an attraction to an Eshes Ish, means they don't believe in Torah Min HaShemayim. Gemara says there are Lamates of its Malachas. How did they get to that magical number of Lamed Tes Avos Malachos? So the different opinions in the Gemara. So one opinion is that you count up how many times the word Malacha, Malachta, Malachas appears. Chalakim Yashvi, Malachta Vasherasa. We call Malachta Vasherasa. You count how many times. So from the beginning of Bereshit till the end of Chumash Dvarim, the word Malacha, Malachta, Malachas appears 39 times. But it appears much more than 39 times. So the different opinions in the Rishonim, which ones you count? That's a whole machlokes in the Rishonim. There used to be Rabbi Gettinger passed away. He used to be the rabbi in Young Israel on Manhattan for many years. He was a very brilliant genius. A few years before he passed away, he published the Sefer that he had written 40 years earlier about the Tzeisar Kochav, about the Rabbeinu Tam Shita and Tzeisar Kochav. So he claims that there never was a machlokes, the Rabbeinu Tam and the Vilna Gaon. If you put them together in a room, they would say the same thing. They would carry on a conversation. It was a misunderstanding. They always misunderstood the Rabbeinu Tam. He never said anything like that. So he was a big genius. So he published a long essay about this topic years before he passed away, about the three different shitas, which are the lamates, which are the 39 times malach malach malachas that they're counting. So this one, it says, how does it say? Vayikayim azav ayav abaisa lasas malachto. Yosef came home. Everybody was in the Beis Avodah Zarah celebrating something, Avodah Zarah. And he went home, Lasas Malachta. So the Gemara, Rashi quotes. So the Gemara is not sure whether this is one of the 39, or this is not one of the 39, because there are more than 39. More than 39. I always thought that that's like a Balaturim, that's like a Gematria. You count up how many times the word appears. But the Gemara has it so many times, see, that's not like a Gematria. The Gemara has a lot of dinim based on how many times the word appears in Chumash. Like there's a Machlekes HaTanaim, whether you need three Hadasim or one Hadas. Why? Because it says Anaf Eitz Ovis. So if it's in singular, I mean one Hadas, but it's three words. So one Tana is of the opinion that you need three Hadasim because it took three words to say Anaf Eitz Ovis. Igmar has a lot of dinim like that in Sanhedrin and Avdalid. Quite a few dinim that are based on how many times the word appears. Basukas, 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 teshva. How many times does it say sukkah? You add it up, that establishes how many defanas you need. And when you do a korban chatos, how many zrikas do you have to give? Lachatchila, mirieber, what's ma'akev? Karnos, 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 karnas. How many times it says keren? You add it up. That's from the Midrash HaTorah and the Jesman. It's not like a gematria or a Rosh Hashanah. That's a real Midrash HaTorah and the Jesman. You take from the beginning of the Chumash, the end of the Chumash, how many times the word Malacha appears. But you have to have some guiding principle because it appears more than 39 times. Then Rashi quotes the famous comment from the Gemara. Most of the Agarata on Yosef is in Masechus Soito. So Rashi quotes, he came... Sounds like there was nobody there from the regular people, but there was someone else there, not from Anshei Abayis. Who was there? So that's how Rashi quotes it. The Losh HaNegamah, Demus Diyukna Shalovim Nirasalo B'chalom. He imagined as if he saw the image of his father in the window. His father was not Me'anshei Abayis. There was nobody Me'anshei Abayis there, implying there was somebody there, Shalom Me'anshei Abayis. The father was there. And he realized if he's going to sin with Eishes Ish, he won't be from the Yud Bei Shvatim anymore. He loses chus like this. He'll be on the Choshen. Yosef's name will appear on the Choshen. He won't be from the Yud Bei Shvatim. So he realized that it's a stupid thing to sin. If we've all had seichel, we'd all realize that whenever you sin, you're doing a stupid thing. You lose your Olam Haba. Doesn't ever makes any sense to sin. You gain a little benefit temporarily, you get a little pleasure, but you lose your whole Olam Haba, so it doesn't pay. So that's why he's known as Yosef HaTzadik. This girl was, this Eishes Ish was pestering him, Yom Yom, and he controlled himself. He didn't sin. Pasuk says that when Yosef was purchased by the Potiphar Sarah Tabachim, the whole business picked up. Everything was batzloch. And then when they put him in prison, everything he touched turned to gold. So that's what the Gemara says based on this pasuk. There are three inyanim that depend on tekev. So tekev, the Talmud Chacham, bracha. If you have a Talmud Chacham, as the pasuk says, from the day that Yosef was put in charge, everything was vayish matzliach. It was extremely successful. For many years, people would go into business. They would go to Lubavitcher and make the Rebbe Shutuf with them. So they put his name down on the partnership. He became a partner, and there would be matzliach. Remember, there used to be one of the musmachim from the yeshiva used to work in the registrar's office. So he was used to go to the Babacher Rebbe all the time. So he made the Rebbe a shutuf in his investments, and he did well. And then he asked the Rebbe, should he give? The Rebbe wanted, if he's a shutuf, he's going to be matzliach, gave him a bracha, and you should give significant amount to tzedakah. So he said, should I give the tzedakah now, or should I give the tzedakah later, after I get when I get the money? So the Rebbe told him, it's better you should give the tzedakah now, so the Baruch Shalom will be a Baal Chayv to you, rather than you should wait till later, you'll be the Baal Chayv to the Baruch Shalom. So he gave the tzedakah right away, and he was very successful. The Rebbe used to, a lot of people would make the Lubavitcher Rebbe a shutuf, and they would write his name down on the official documents. He's a shutuf, even though he didn't put any money in, but he gave the blessings. Pasuk says that they had a chaloim and they didn't know how to interpret the chaloim. So Yosef interpreted. So 3 days later was the birthday of Paro. When Paro had the dream, when Paro had the dream about the seven fat cows and seven skinny cows, so Yosef interpreted the seven represent 7 years. How do you know 7 years? Maybe it's 7 months, maybe 7 weeks, maybe 7 days. And over here he saw three, Shlosha Sarigim, he says 3 days. So the Rishonim say, the economy of the country is not going to change in 7 days, not going to change in 7 months. They understood that you have to know how to interpret a dream. So the seven fat cows represent 7 years. It's going to take 7 years to change. Over here, the birthday was going to be in another 3 days. So why should he interpret that it goes 3 months and 3 years? And 3 days is going to be the birthday of the king. So the king was celebrating the birthday. That's what some claim, that celebrating birthdays is chukasakum. Because the only place in Tanakh that you have anybody celebrating a birthday is over here. And others disagree. Why? Why is it only a chukasakum? Who says? You want to give HaKores HaTayv to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that you survived another year? Why is it a chukasakum? Like a Sudas HaDoya, where we mark a Tayv to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that you survived another year. That's a shayla. Usually, as life develops, there's a cause and an effect. And always the cause precedes the effect. The cause has to come first. And sometimes in history, the effect precedes the cause, like over here, on the closing pasuk in Parshas Vayeshev, that Yosef didn't have enough bitachin in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So yes, the Sarah Mashkim, you're going to be freed in another 3 days on Paro's birthday. When you go free and things are good for you, try to get me out of the prison. So the person says he was punished. He shouldn't have asked the Sarah Mashkim. He forgot all about him. That was Min HaShemayim. How could he forget? He forgot because Min HaShemayim. He deserved to be punished in the same prison another 2 years. So after 2 years, Paro has this dream. So the Pashto says Paro had a dream, and because he had the dream, that's why Yosef went free. So the Rashi quotes on the Medrash, it's not true. It's not that the cause was the dream and the effect was that Yosef went free. Yosef was punished, has to be in prison another 2 years because he didn't have enough bitachon. So because Yosef had it, and the 2 years were up, HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw to it that Paro should have a dream in order that Yosef should go free. It's not that the cause is the dream and the effect is that Yosef went free. It was time for Yosef to go free. And this is why Min HaShemayim, they thought that the Paro should have a dream, and he's going to have to ask Yosef to interpret it, and he's going to make him the Mishla Melech. A lot of times, Briska Torah is like that. That's what the Beis HaLevi points out. that a lot of times we always assume whatever came first is the cause, whatever came second is the effect. Sometimes not so. So a lot of times in learning, the brisker Torah is also like that. What we think is the cause is really the effect. We think the effect is really the cause. I remember when we learned Sanhedrin. So the Mishnah says, Hamagadef, when it curses HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is Chayv Misa. So the witnesses who come to Bezin to testify, the Bezin asks, Amor Masha Shamaita Beferi, say over word for word what he said. And they have to say Chiruf Egiduf. They don't just say the first word that he said is this, second word not. He said Mamish the Chiruf Egiduf. So because the Bezin heard the Chiruf, so they have to rip Kriya. One who hears Megadif as Hashem, one who hears someone else, that's like he hears Shmos Ros, so you have to rip Kriya, because that's a tragedy, someone's Megadif as Hashem. So the Mishnah says that when the Bezin hears the Giduf, they have to rip Kriya. So the Pashtus is that there's a cause and effect over here. They didn't require, Adam have to give Agoda Seders, they have to say what they heard. And then because the Bezin heard, so therefore they have to rip Kriya. So Rav Soloveitchik explained, he thinks it's just the reverse. There's a din with Samchu Kaloshanim Es Yedehem. So the Gemara of Darshan, Samchu Kaloshanim Es Yedehem Al Roshom. The Shoimim are the people, the Edim who heard the person, the Balavera, say the Giduf, the cursing of Hashem. And Kol is Marba the Bezin. So there's a din that the Bezin has to rip Kriya because they're Shoimim. Why they Shoimim? Because in order to enable Bezin to rip Kriya, we require of the Edom that they should say Emor Masha Shamaita Beferish. In Hilchas Eidus, there shouldn't be any need for them to say word for word what he said. Say the first word is this. Take a dictionary and say in front of the Bezin. The man said the following statement. This is the first word that he said. This is the second word. That's the third word. And it comes out that he said Giduf. So that's good, Eidus. That's good. No. The Halacha says they have to say Emor Masha Shamaita Beferish. The Bezin should be able to rip Kriya. So the Kriya, we always thought, the cause is Adam have to give a Haggadah Seders. And then the effect is, because they had to say Haggadah Seders, that's why Bezin has to rip Kriya. That's not true. The cause is that we want Bezin to rip Kriya. Kol Hashemim. Hashemim are the Adam, Kol Hashemim are the Dayanim. Because we want them to rip Kriya, we have to make them into Kol Hashemim. So that's why we require that the Adam should say Amor Masha Shamaita Beferish. You have a lot of. I remember there used to be a Talmud Chacham lived in the neighborhood. So when they printed this in one of the Torah journals of the yeshiva, he read it. So he said, that's typical brisk. They take the cause and make it into effect, take the effect, make it into the cause. A lot of times it's the opposite from what you would have thought. Usually we think that what happened first is what caused it, what happened second. Not always the case. By the Akeda, Avraham Avinu says, Shvulachem poyim hachamar, v'niva anan elchad ko v'nishtach v'menoshu alech. So the Medrash has a comment, the difference between po and ko. Avraham Avinu tells the Shnei Narvim, Shvulachem po imachamar, v'niva anan elchad ko. So po means all of Goyish history is like po. The cause comes first and then the effect. In Jewish history, we have a goal, and there's Ashgach Men Hashamayim to lead history in a direction, but it's in world history also a lot of times like that. It's not always the difference in Jewish history and Goyish history. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is leading the Jewish people in a certain direction, leading the Talmid Chachamim to Paskin in a certain direction, leading the world in a certain direction. And then he causes something to happen in order to bring about that result. So a lot of times it's the goal that's the cause of why something had to precede that goal in order to bring about that goal. Rav Soloveitchik gave a drush about that. It's probably printed somewhere. The difference between po and ko. Just catch words. In Haftorah, the Navi uses the expression referring to all the nations of the world, Mishpachos HaAdamah. Mishpachos HaAdamah. That you have in the beginning of Lech Lecha. So the one and only goy in the whole world, the Jews are the only goy. A goy means gibiyah, miloshin gibiyah. That's what the Radak writes. Radak has a michlol, a dictionary, a biblical Hebrew. So he says the word goy, nation, only applies to the Jewish people. as a slang word, we refer to non-Jews as goyim, but really, in Tanakh also referred to as goyim. But really, they're mishpachos ha'adama. They're families. They're families. It's not a goy. A goy is miloshin gebiya, as if kol yisrael arevim ze bezeh, as if all the Jewish people is one body. By goyim, we don't have such a concept. By goyim, is mishpacha, separate people. The nusach that you say in the Baruch Shalom Asani Goy, so many of the poskim say that it's not a correct nusach. You should really say Shalom Asani Nochri, because the brachas, the Abu Jam is of the opinion that the brachas and the tefillos are supposed to be recited in biblical Hebrew. That's the premise of the whole sefer Abu Jam. The Nitziv rejects the whole premise. He throws the whole sefer out, the whole Abu Jam. He puts in Shemus. But that's the premise, and many assume like that, that the tefillos are supposed to be in a biblical Hebrew, and Avodram tries to show you what's the marker. So to refer to a non-Jew as a goy, that's a slang expression. A goy means a nation, so that's in biblical Hebrew, nations. But to refer to an individual non-Jew as a goy, that's in the Gemara you have it, but that's slang. And more correct is to say Nochri. So that's what Rabbi Soloveitchik used to say. There were many Gedolim who said Shalom, I think they called the Chavetz Chaim, and say Shalom Asani Nochri. I don't think he doesn't write about it in the Mishnah Berurah, but that was his practice. He said Shalom Asani Nochri, he didn't say Shalom Asani Goy. That's the question. What Nusach does a Ger say? A Ger is going to say Shalom Asani Nochri. He was born a Goy. He's going to say Shasani Yisrael. Some have the Gersa and the Gemara say Shasani Yisrael. So we usually don't say like that. And can you say Shasani Yisrael? He was born an Anjou. He decided to convert. It's not that God made him a Yisrael. God created him as an Ochre, and then he converted. So that's a discussion in the Poskim. What? Maybe you should skip that bracha. Maybe you can't say Shasani Nochri. He was born an Ochre. Maybe it doesn't make sense to say Shasani Yisrael. That's a serious question. But the goyim are called mishpachos ha'adama, and we have the pasuk in one of the first psukim in Chumash Bamidbar, when the Moshe Rabbeinu was instructed to take a census of the Jewish people and to figure out how many people there are in every shevet. And what if you have a mixed marriage, the father's from one shevet, the mother's from another shevet? So the pasuk says lemishpachosim lebeis aboisim. So that's why the Gemara says, by umas ha'olam, if you have a mixed marriage, let's say one parent is an Amaleki and one parent is a Knaini, Nisinim, or one parent is an Amoini and one parent is a Mitzri, the different din. Mitzri Adam is only also Dor Rishon, Dor Sheni, Dor Shlishi is Mutter, and Amon Amayab is also even Dor Shlishi. Dor Shlishi is only Mitzvah Vadaimi. So how do you establish the status of the child if you have a mixed marriage? So the Gemara says in Kedushin, Bum is Allah Achar Azachar. It depends on the father. Why? Because that's the Rishonim said, because the Mishpachosim Leveis HaVeis, by the Nochrim, there is no such thing as a Goy. What nation you belong to? There is no Goy by them. They're mishpachos ha'adama. So families depends on mishpachos ha'adama. The same thing, if both parents are Jewish, you have to determine whether the child belongs to this shevet or that shevet, Kohen Levi Yisrael. So that's mishpachos. That's an inyan of mishpacha. So it's established by the father. But if you have a mixed marriage, one parent is Jewish, one parent is not Jewish, you have to establish whether the child is Jewish. That's not a function of mishpacha. You can be Jewish even though you don't. A ger converts. He's not related to anybody in the world. He didn't get married yet. Kekot Mishan Oldam is not related to the old relatives. So he can be Jewish without being Mishpach of anybody. So what does it mean to be Jewish? You're a member of the Goy, of the Jewish nation. So that's that we spoke about. That's a Machloikis HaTanoim. Tosfos on the last Amud Beis in the first Perek in Yevamos. Yevamos, the first Perek ends at an Amud Aleph. So the last Amud Beis before the next Amud. Tosfos quotes that there are three opinions when you have a mixed marriage. How do you determine the status of the children? Does it depend? Do you need both parents to be Jewish? Does the child should be Jewish? Do you say either parent is Jewish, so the child is Jewish? Or do you say it depends on the mother? There should have been a fourth sheet that depends on the father, and that would have been made either everything the same. When both parents are not Jewish, a mixed marriage. So it depends. Both parents are Jewish. It depends on the father. So when one parent is Jewish, one parent is not. If he would have said it depends on the father, all the dinim would have been the same. Nobody holds like that. There never was such a shita. There's one shita, you need both parents to be Jewish. One shita, either or. That's what the Reform and the Conservatives in recent years, they accepted that. And we paskin la'alacha, like the mission, all depends on the mother. How come nobody ever said it depends on the father? The answer is, because in order to be Jewish, it doesn't depend on you. If you're mishpachas ha'yehudim, a ger can be Jewish and he's not mishpacha with anybody. He's not mishpachas ha'yehudim. If he'll get married to a Jewish girl, so they'll be related. If he'll have children, he'll have mishpacha. But when he first converts, he's not mishpachas ha'yehudim. So it's a different issue. To determine whether the person is Jewish, is he part of the Jewish goy? So that the Tanaim assumed that that has different rules. And the father, that's out of the question. So there are three different psukim. One Tana said, either parent Jewish. One Tana said, you need both. And one Tana said, all depends on the mother. That was the Psak HaMekubal, 2,000 years ago. Depends on the mother. Okay, we should all be healthy. Rabbi Tursky is having a Shalom Zachar in the neighborhood this Friday night. So he invites everyone to attend the Shalom Zachar. I think he's speaking in Yeshiva on Shabbos. So everyone is invited to come and participate. Okay.
Very nice.